Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those moments, those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And tonight, as always, I'm so very grateful for Ms. Barbara Moore. She is on with us, and she gives us such wisdom. And we like to start off our show with God at the center. So we ask that you join us in prayer. But first, she has some words of wisdom I know that she'd like to share. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. You know, thank you so much. Listening to the words of our President Ronald Reagan and always hearing something different each time. But what really struck me tonight was what a different world we lived in during those years of World War II. It really was a different world, a different culture, very, very different. And I think that we're seeing in these days such a change from what, such a leap and such a rapid change from the years before. But at each level, at each point, we've always known our need for God. And that's the same way it is today, and the same as it was during the Civil War in the 1860s. And it was on this date in 1864 that Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation for a second annual Thanksgiving on this last Thursday in November. And this is what he said: "And I do further recommend to my fellow citizens aforesaid that on that occasion they do reverently humble themselves in the dust and from thence offer up penitent and fervent prayers and supplications to the great disposer of events for a return of the blessings of peace, union, and harmony throughout the land, which it has pleased him to assign as a dwelling place for ourselves and our posterity throughout all generations." I was very touched by that. Reverently, this was the President of the United States admonishing Americans to reverently humble themselves in the dust, and from that point of being humbled in the dust, from there offer up penitent and fervent prayers and supplications. So let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for those who've gone before us and who have left messages, important messages, such as this one, O God. We do pray, Father, for your people, our people, to humble ourselves, Lord, truly humble ourselves, and acknowledge your greatness and your sovereignty. And, Father, that there is no one above you. There's none beside you, O God. There's none like unto thee, O Lord. And to turn from our wicked ways, seek your face. And Father, that you would hear from heaven as we do this. We know your word is true, that you will hear from heaven as we do this, Father. And I know that many prayers are being lifted up to you, O God, on behalf of our nation and from your people. But, Father, a further humility and a further turning from our wicked ways, and we still have a ways to go, Father, and we acknowledge that. Please forgive us, O God, and help us be truly humble and fervent in our prayers to you, Father, sincerely seeking you and turning from our wicked ways, O God, with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our strength, all of our souls. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And listeners, we thank God for the ability to still speak freely. And if you feel led, please go to our website, www.cityonahill.tv. Click on the Men Raising the Flag over Iwo Jima, and it will link to the Blog Talk Radio site. And we have years and years worth of interviews that are just incredible because the people that God has allowed to come on the show, we are just so grateful. They have been just wonderful perspectives that's been shared. So please go share them. Every everybody from Professor Milgram, Sanders Stotsky has been on to just, you know, simple folks. So, and we're always glad for the privilege of speaking to all these that God sent our way. And Ms. Barbara, I see somebody that God has sent our way. And it is our dear Ms. Ann Eubank. Hi, Ann.
How are you doing?
Good.
Can y'all hear me?
Good.
Yes, we can hear you, Ms. Ann. I'm letting you talk so that you can get in a word. Once I get started, I'm kind of hard to stop. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm here. I'll just interject anytime I can. So just go for it, Ms. Diana.
Well, we are just privileged to have you because you have been fighting this Common Core for a long time. And Ms. Barbara, she's just so impressive because, you know, Ms. Ann deals with facts. And there's nothing like facts. There's nothing like truth, right? And it's really very healing, I think, when people see the truth. And the enemy of truth, unfortunately, is error. And you know, that's what happens when there is no debate. And we are feeling that. We are seeing that. I was just thinking just now about when we went to Montgomery, Ms. Barbara, you saw that. You were there. And Ms. Ann, you were there when we had Jane Robbins and, you know, Emmett McGordy come all the way from wherever they come from, Georgia, Washington, D.C., to be part of a hearing. They were relegated to 2 minutes. And I'm thinking, how sad that in such a very important discussion, you only allow the experts to speak a measly 2 minutes. And I think that's why error is reigning in the state, because there's really not the right discussion that should be happening in, you know, in a civilized, godly state. We are being treated as if we are serfs and they are lords.
That's exactly how we're being treated.
It's terribly insulting for experts to come from other states, other places, and to give of their time and all the costs involved in coming, and then to be allowed 2 minutes. What can you say in 2 minutes? That was intended to be insulting, and it certainly was. I mean, that is just it's just unconscionable what was done to them.
Totally dismissive, and your expertise is not wanted, nor is it needed here. We are going to do what we're going to do, and nothing anybody can say is going to change the mind. It had nothing to do with the truth and the facts. It has to do with money. They wanted the money, and so now they had the money.
How are we going to win this?
We don't give up. We continue.
I know we don't give up, but I sure would like to win a few.
Yes, we would all like to win a few. You know, we have to talk to every single individual, every single legislator, the governor, every single state board of education member, every single principal, every single teacher, every single parent, and try to explain to them what is happening, because until the people have the scales removed from their eyes, we will not win. That's just, I've been doing this for 3 years now, and there's a lot of people out there, but they're afraid. We have been conditioned not to make waves and cause trouble. And those of us who are not afraid to do that are few and far between, because the majority of people want to make sure that they're accepted. They're not considered troublemakers. They don't want their children to pay the price for them standing for the truth. And I directly put the blame on the pastors not standing in the pulpit and saying, you must stand up against this evil. I think that has a lot to do with the reason people will not stand up and say, this is wrong. We can't tell anybody they're wrong.
It's interesting, because now the pastors find themselves in a very vulnerable position in various places, Texas being one. You know, they've not stood up as they should have, protecting the children. I don't know about in Texas. I can't speak for Texas. But for the most part, what we've seen is that the pastors have not really stood up and protected the children as they should. So maybe what's happening with this thing in Texas with the pastors and the attack that they're under from the lesbian mayor and the government there, maybe this will actually wake them up, and what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord will turn it and use it for good, for the salvation of many, and they will see how important it is to stand up for what's right.
It's been a very disconcerting, disappointing day for me.
It has been to me, too, Ms. Ann. Sorry about that, but go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I like what you were saying earlier, and I think, you know, God does tell us, right, to... like, it's a step-by-step, day-by-day walk with him, right? And
right.
I'm thinking that is, you know, when we can, you know, let one person see the truth, that's a victory. And that, you know, that may be sufficient right now because, you know, we just tried today to post a lot of things on Twitter and trying to get the governor's attention. We believe that we have a, you know, a governor that said that he was behind us, you know, and against this Common Core at the very beginning, but we've not seen anything. So we were posting, but unfortunately, whoever was manning his Twitter page when we would post, anything to do with Common Core just was not allowed. But there's another Twitter page, which you call Pound AL Politics, that was doing the same thing. Anything to do with, you know, Common Core, they were not allowing to be posted, because I guess those two must be in collusion, is what I'm thinking. How in the world would Governor Bentley's Twitter page have anything to do with that other one, right? So I'm thinking,
right.
There's some collusion there, which we're, you know, trying to let him know, because I can't believe that our governor would allow Alabama to run as a Gestapo, what is it, Ms. Barbara, Nazi Gestapo-styled state, in that, you know, there is no freedom of speech, even though we are seeing laws that are being passed doing just that. So it is very worrisome, but I still have faith that hopefully he will talk to them and let the parents be able to air their thoughts starting tomorrow about Common Core, because if you don't let the people have their say, that gets to be a rather bad situation for a governor, I think.
Well, I have heard that his wife is a Christian. Maybe, you know, she could have some influence with him for good. And maybe he'll have a change of heart, change of mind. It doesn't look real promising, though.
You know, I was with him 2 weeks ago for a press conference, and I tried to talk to him, you know, to get into the conversation. He he said if he was in D.C., the first thing he would do, what he would get rid of, and that would be the HHS. But I said yes, and then the Department of Education and Arne Duncan would be second, and he totally changed the subject. He knew where I was going, and he did not want to talk about it. What is happening in Montgomery this week is very discouraging, that people, you know, we've been down there. We know how it operates, but now all of a sudden the Republican legislature has done great and wonderful things, and this is a political witch hunt. Well, yeah, who are the political witches that are doing the hunting? So, you know, it's all around us. And it just feels like we are in the wilderness by ourselves sometimes.
Yeah, it does. It does. It really does.
But then you see the title.
It's been a long battle, long war.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a long battle.
Oh, sorry, Ms. Ann. But then we get a little glimmer of hope, you know, and I don't wish anything bad on my cupboard. But it seems that, you know, God knew that this man was really, as I've heard many times before, was part of the reason that we could not get Common Core repealed in our state. And, you know, there's no way that man was, well, there's no way in this world that this man was going to be brought low, but unless God intervened, and boy, did he intervene. I mean, this is just, you know, incredible what is going on.
Yes, and it's a very sad day for Alabama. We spent 135 years under Democrat Party rule, and the Republicans take over, and we're, you know, how did this happen? How did this happen? We thought when we got Republican rule that we would get things done for the people, and they have done good things, but I think they've missed the most important thing, and that's to protect our children from this terrible, terrible thing called Common Core. And I've been accused of being a one-issue person, and I'm really not. And they've done some, you know, handled some of our issues, thank goodness, but not the most important one. So I feel really, I'm going to have to take a day off, I think, and get back in the battle Thursday, but that's all I can say. You know, I was like in four different places this past weekend talking to people after people. I saw Mark Tuggle in Wea Augusta. In case you don't know where Wea Augusta is, it's out in the middle of nowhere in the woods with the wild turkeys. In fact, I almost ran over three or four of them. Great little community. They use their old high school for community events. And Mark Togo was there, and I was speaking with him, and Rusty Glover was there, and Mike Holmes was there. But Mark says, well, how did you like this past session? And I said, well, it was fine, but we still have Common Core. And he was insulted by the fact that I just didn't think they did a great and wonderful job, that how much they had done for us. And I said, until we get rid of Common Core, you know, you have to understand how bad Common Core is. And he said, well, the business people want Common Core so that we will have college and career ready workforce.
And oh, my goodness.
I said, you and I need to talk when we have more time.
Now, who was this guy again, Ms. Ann? I'm sorry, what was his name again?
Mark Tuggle, T-U-G-G-L-E. He is District 30 Wegufka, Coosa County, and I mean, he thought I was supposed to be all excited about what they had done for us this past session. And I said, well, you know,
wow.
You've done fine. So, but I had.
Wow.
You know, we have got to continue educating each and every one of them and have to do it individually if we have to. So that's the only
way
that's
we're going to do it. Well, that's Lee and Tallapoosa. That's Lee in Tallapoosa that he's over. So I'm guessing, Miss Ann.
Part of Tallapoosa, too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now he. Now when was this conversation with him?
Saturday night.
Okay. Well, this was before the Hubbard,
yeah.
I guess, news.
Yeah.
So maybe he's got a different frame of mind. And Barbara, isn't it amazing that God will not be mocked?
Yeah.
Whatsoever we sow, we shall reap, the Bible says, and that he will not be mocked. Absolutely.
Well,
you know, in America, we're innocent until we're proven guilty, but we also have to have common sense of how the behavior around us comes out. You know?
Oh, indeed, indeed. And we're being joined in by I'm gonna guess who this is, but I'm gonna let him say who it is. Hi there. Who have we got on?
Hi.
Is that you?
Hi, Diana. It's Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jennifer.
How are you? I've been listening in. I hope you don't mind. I just wanted to call in and kind of echo some things Diana just said. I think you took the words right out of my mouth. You know, I knew things were bad, but today in our little Twitter session, I think things really hit home to me, and it really caused me to stop. I had to get away by myself for a couple hours, and I had to really think hard about what this meant, that truly in our state that we love, that we're being silenced. Parents are being silenced. Their thoughts are not being heard. They're not being allowed. They're being blocked. And, you know, as a voting taxpayer and as a parent of school-age children, that truly concerns me. And I think even more because my son and I actually had the opportunity last year during our opt-out, during our testing session, that we actually had a chance to go and meet with Governor Bentley. And my son presented him with a plaque that our group had done for him, you know, thanking him on behalf of parents, in his stand with parents, or what seemed to be a stand with parents, in saying that we had a choice to opt out. I mean, I can't tell you how grateful I was as a parent at that time to have that kind of support, even though we did face a lot of opposition, you know, with Tommy Bice and some of our local schools. But I'm just really confused at what's really going on at this point in time. And today, it just kind of hit home with me. Do y'all have anything to say and to add about that?
No, it's something that we've been dealing with for 3 years. What we have to say, and I don't know if any of you saw my comment today in the newspaper, but it was, we've been in Montgomery and we understand that those with power and money are more important than we, the people. And we've actually been told, if you want something done, you need to start writing checks. I was told that to my face by a legislator. And I said, I'm not writing a check to get something done that the Republicans in Alabama should have as number one on their list to accomplish.
Wow.
And that's what we deal with. But I refuse to give up, and I'm not going to give up.
Oh, me too, Miss Ann.
But today's, you know, when you have days like today that just brings it home, you wonder, okay, are we doing the right way? What else can we do, or what other strategy do we need? Because money and power is what runs.
But you know what, Miss Ann? I don't think the average parent, I don't believe, understands how this works. I mean, and I don't. I was, before last year, before my son or my children were affected by Common Core, you know, I was the PTO, on the board of PTOs in a school. I mean, you know, I just fit right in step with the average parent doing carpool and extracurricular activities, and that's how I spent my time. But, you know, there are a lot of parents today that were silenced, and I'm hearing from those parents, and they don't get it. They are fuming mad. I mean mad. And maybe that's what it takes. I don't really know. Maybe there's a righteous anger, you know, that can bring forth some type of good. I don't know. But I don't really know what to tell them, because, you know, they'll call and they'll say, well, I thought that the governor was in support. I thought he said he was against Common Core, but he's not acting like he's against Common Core. I'm not voting for him. These people are mad, and I just really wonder, if Governor Bentley even understands that all this is happening, because you don't need to get a bunch of mamas mad. And there's a bunch of mamas mad tonight in the state.
Well,
and you know, I don't really have the words to tell them. I just say, well, you know, I understand. I'm a little confused about it too.
Well,
I think we need some answers.
Don't forget that Governor Bentley demonstrated what he believes when he got that 26% pay increase for
that's been brought up today too, quite a bit.
His actions spoke quite loudly to me, and I think I think they should to everyone. There's no escaping where his loyalties lie. Tommy Bice has been pushing Common Core before he even became superintendent. And for Governor Bentley to give him support and to have him rewarded for his and you know, don't forget, this Tommy Bice is the man who attempted to take over all schools, private, Christian, and home schools. And I think that he would have them under Common Core and under all of this as well.
Yeah.
And so, and he has lied. He has been such a liar. And, you know, so this is who Governor Bentley aligned himself with.
Well,
it has to do with
the No Child Left Behind waiver that we just got a 2-year extension on, the amount of money that it would cost the state if we didn't have it. It has to do with the federal grants and federal programs that sending money down here for education. I had a principal tell me, I can't open the doors of my school without federal money. It has to do with the budgets and the BCA and the Chamber of Commerce, who are pushing for college and career ready standards for the job market. And that is Governor Bentley's number one thing, is jobs. So you have to understand that what he gets in his ears, whether it be truth or not, is that's what he's hearing.
He's not able to hear what other people want to say, because we're getting blocked.
Right.
So
the people do not have the power and the money that is in Montgomery right now until we stand up and demand that we be heard. And 10, 15, 20, 100, 200 is not enough. It is going to take a revolt.
Yeah.
And we don't have that right now.
Miss Ann, I can almost see a mothers coming and going door to door on this issue? Because I know the part of the problem is they, you know, we have not awakened the entire state. But
right.
It is such a big issue that I can almost see mothers willing to do that, knock door to door, send letters, do what it takes, because I think today we have seen the enemy, and unfortunately it's people we trust. You know, it is like, it is, you know, where is America? Somebody has stolen our state, and we want her back. And what a shame, because we do not want a state that becomes a dog-eat-dog world. You know, there's so many places. Alabama is just, a lot of us probably have traveled out of state, and we know there's something special. You know, I'm not bragging on Alabama, but it's just the fact when you go through the different McDonald's in various states and you come to an Alabama McDonald's, you see that sweet face, and just about every one of them, it doesn't matter what color, there is a difference there. And it's because we are so nice, we are so trusting that we do not think this is going to happen. And I'm looking forward to that video that Miss Ann was talking about, You Don't Believe. Tell about that video, Miss Ann, that needs to happen.
Well, I want to see that. I did a little talk to some of the Spain Park High School people because they were so disturbed that their principal, after they opted out, their children were still given the test. And, you know, that's a big no-no. But anyway, Amy Beth Shaver was there, and one of the mothers, and at the end of it, they were talking to one another about doing a video like Georgia did. Have y'all seen the little Georgia video with the people talking and the psychoanalyst talking? That was supposed to be shown to the Georgia State Board, and they refused to see it. The legislature, and they refused to see it because their minds are already made up. And again, it's all about the money. So what I said was, at the end of the little talk that I gave, is that one of the parents asked me, why has this happened? What has brought this about? And I said, well, we in America don't believe this could happen here. This can't happen in America. And even more, this can't happen in Alabama. But it is happening.
Yep.
This is Alabama. This can't happen. But it is. So
if I didn't believe that before today, Miss Ann, I believe it's after today. I really do. I saw it with my own eyes.
I have had an education about the process that it just awakens you to, whoa, wait a minute, that's not what they taught me in civics class.
Right.
way back when. So, because the people are supposed to run the government. That's not what's happened. So,
no.
But until we figure out, this is happening in Alabama, and we don't like it.
Well, I think because we are such a nice group of people, you know, it's part of our culture, too, in the South, not to make waves, especially women, not to make waves, you know, not to play nice, to go along, to get along, all the things, the messages that we've been sent all of our lives. But, you know, I will do that to a point, but when it's involving my children, I will fight to the end. And all this does to me as a mother is make me want to fight that much harder. I may have to take a couple hours out to stop and think and process, but you better believe tomorrow morning I'm going to be right back in there because this is involving my children.
Exactly. And
we are not going away.
That's kind of what I was saying today. You know, I just maybe I need to take tomorrow off and get back at it Thursday. So maybe we can get some new people who can give us better ideas. I know that Stop Common Core Alabama put out a call tonight to send to the Stop Common Core PAC to send $10 because. You know, if we get $5,000, we can get another commercial on the TV. And you know, the last one did very well. But it's like people listen and then they walk out and they don't do anything.
They don't believe that their solitary single action can bring about change. And we've got to get that message to individual, one by one. Yes, you can make a difference. So maybe there are some people listening tonight, I hope so, that will join us and we'll make that change.
You know,
we're not going away.
I have a couple of ideas. And Ms. Barbara, you know, we've heard this before, that postcards are good, right? We've heard that before. And so we've done a little letter. I'm going to pass it around, let y'all look over at Ms. Barbara. But, you know, we could do a letter. It'd be folded trifold, and somebody can address it back. And it can be mailed, you know, to anybody and everybody in there. And anybody can print it from their own. I think the problem with some people, they're so busy. And if you have to think and write a letter, it takes you a while. You know, it's half an hour, at least for me, if not longer. So we're going to do a letter that's simple, and yet there'll be some spaces for people to fill in their own personal words. But, you know, we want you to address it to your legislator, to your board members. You know, just make a whole bunch of copy from your own household printer, and it won't cost too much that way, and send it off. But, you know, we'll put picture on one side, so whoever touches that, just like a postcard, will see, because they say that's what's good about the postcard, is a lot of people really will handle that piece of paper, you know, and so it will be seen more. So we need to do that, and you know, we've had those conferences. I think we need to offer up, if people want to send us a few dollars to help send it to you, we'll make CDs available for you to share it one-on-one, like, you know, Jennifer was saying, because I do feel like we've got to do more of the one-on-one. And it could be just giving them a CD to listen. I know we did that at the beginning, Ms. Barbara. We had CDs of our show. And we had people saying, well, I had to drive to the grocery store, I had to go out of town. And they would listen to that CD in their car. And once they get a hold of that truth, and I think, you know, we know that works. So, you know, the Twitter stuff, we've seen it. We've seen the problem with Twitter, that, like any media, can be controlled. I mean, I have to spend a long time trying to figure out how to, you know, do what I want to do. But in a way, it's good, because now we're more awake, and now they don't know this, but they're going to realize this, like Jennifer's saying, they have started, they have opened a hornet's nest. I think it's going to be such that mamas will, in order to relieve that stress, they will be doing a lot more, because I know I'm stressed out. I got to do something. I'm so stressed out. So
when mothers
watch out,
worry
like
about
said,
their
watch
children, you know, we're the gatekeepers. We're the ones who were there day and day in and day out, night, whenever. But you know what? When a mama has to worry about her kids, she wants to know what she can do.
Right.
And that will bring people to action. I have to believe that.
Well,
so.
I have to believe that the more of these, I have to believe that the more of these standardized tests, which is what caused the Spain Park thing, the more standardized tests that they just started them, the more we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all over the nation. I don't understand why they are stonewalling us when they know we're telling the truth. It's not like we're a bunch of Looney Tunes.
Well, it's
only
not hard
in
to
Alabama.
Prove either.
No.
It's not hard to prove. You guys, if you got 5 minutes, you can prove to anybody that's willing to listen. You know, and we're having more and more and more people come, and they're eager to listen. Stop Common Core Alabama Facebook page has grown by leaps and bounds. There are people joining that site every single day. And, you know, I think that they're seeing it. It's affecting their own homes and their own children, and they're starting to look into it more. So we just got to keep at it.
Yep, we just got to keep at it. And, you know, we can't take a setback. Personally, we have to regroup and do it again, take another pathway, because obviously they're going to...
Mamas will not hear, listen, Miss Ann, mamas will not hear the word no when it concerns their kids. They will not. And if these people think that they're so high and mighty and that mamas are going to listen to that, I don't believe that's going to happen ever. Not with a mama. Do they not have a mother? I mean, sometimes I wonder. What would
sometimes
your mother say
I wonder,
to you?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard some men say as if it's something that we can move on. And, Miss Barbara, I don't think mamas can move on when their child's sick.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm.
Well, one of the good things about days like today is that it makes us kind of press in and really begin to look at to see what we're missing, to see where we can improve.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that we're going to continue, of course, and we're going to work even harder, but we want to work smarter too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we one of the things that we're going to try to do here in Dothan, and we hope it'll happen all over the state, that we can coordinate with people all over the state, and that's to pick one day after the legislature convenes, and to pick one day that we all descend on Montgomery, but to do it a little bit differently this time, to not only be wearing all our Stop Common Core t-shirts and so forth, but to use the time preceding that to talk to people and get a commitment from them to take that trip to Montgomery.
Yeah.
And do whatever they have to do to get off work that day. If we could pick a day and work toward that all over the state, everybody working toward that day, and to have so many people there that we will not be denied, and to hold a press conference that day there on the Capitol steps.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, you know, but to reach as many people as we can individually and with our groups and every which way, and Diana, you mentioned going door to door. We may have to do some of that. You know, the postcards, but we want to try to get that commitment for that Montgomery trip to show up. All of us show up at one time, and
that's
demand
what it's
to be heard.
It's going to take a huge crowd.
Yeah,
and
right.
I don't mean a couple of hundred people. I mean a huge crowd.
And that's where our churches come into play, too. Our churches and our pastors that need to be enlightened here. And I'm hoping that's what some of these conferences are going to help do. That's what our goal is, and some of that is to help them understand, you know, it's not just a bunch of crazy mamas, you know, upset about their spoiled babies.
Well, Jennifer, will you talk about the conference that y'all are having in Lane and just tell folks about it, and we'll go from there?
Sure. It's going to be November the 9th. We're going to have a meet and greet from 4 to 5, and then 5 until 7:30 is the planned conference. Dr. Duke Pesta, who is a English professor at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, is going to come in, and we are thrilled that he said yes. Can't wait to have him come to Alabama. He's a national tour with speaking, and he's, to me, one of the most well-versed in some of the national sexuality standards that are coming down the pipeline, as well as this national counseling and guidance model that's based on, UCLA that we've just heard about last week. I've also asked Stephanie Bell to come and speak, since she is actually our representative on the school board. I'm waiting to hear back from her. And Gabriel Smith from the Foundation of Moral Law, I believe, is going to be able to join us. And I think you said, Diana, you had asked Tory Towns to come. Is he coming for sure?
I think he said yes. He said he'll be able to.
Okay, great. Awesome. Well, we should have a really action-packed, great lineup. And you know, we're hoping to offer a question and answer portion at the end of the event. If people need to go, we understand. But if they have questions and they want to stay, then we want to give them as much, you know, time as they can. So it's going to be in Helena at Cross Bridge Community Church. And our local pastor will also be there, Bruce Squires. And he actually is one of the pastors in this state that actually gets it. And I'm very, very proud to call him my pastor and my friend. So I just look forward to it, and I hope as many of I'm hearing good things. That people are planning to come. We want to invite our legislatures. We want to invite, you know, people that we feel like may even be on opposite from us. We still want to extend the invitation for them to come and hear the truth. So whether they will or not, I don't know, but hopefully they'll make the decision to come, and we're just praying that God intervenes there, and that he just impresses it upon people's hearts to realize truly how important a time such as this that we are facing in the state and with our children. So please help us spread the word. November the 9th.
Diana, did you send me that flyer? I have not had time for it.
I will try to look and see if I had. I thought I had, but then it's been a bad day. But I'll try to check on that, Miss Ann. But, yeah, we want you to have that.
Well, I will say this, too. Amy Beth Shaver has also been involved in helping me tremendously with, you know, drafting a letter we're going to be sending out. And I have just been thrilled to meet her and talk with her. She has been a huge support. So I think she'll be there and inviting some others to come as well. So I've just been really excited to see, because from the idea, you know, I mean, you guys aren't like me. I'm just a little mama, but, you know, I guess sometimes, you know, we sit around and we go, well, we just got to do something about this, you know. And I think I said to Diana, we just need to have Dr. Pesto. We just need to ask him to come to Alabama. And I think she shocked me when she said, well, why don't we do it? And I think sometimes we get in our mom mode, you know, and we think, well, that's not going to happen. We say it, but we don't really think it. And I was really glad that Diana, you know, pushed us to explore that. And he said yes. I couldn't believe it.
He is fantastic. And Amy Beth Shaver, there's just nobody like her. She is. Absolutely.
Well, I'm learning
she
that new every day.
On
I love
mission.
Her.
Yeah.
She sure has. And I'm proud to stand with her. I really am. So.
Jennifer, I hate to tell you, but we all started out just like where you are. We were just mamas that said, we have to do something about this.
Well, it's good to meet you is all I can say, because, you know, I guess I'm all wet behind the ears, but I'm learning things. And it's exciting to me, you know, but obviously things born out of strife and frustration and seeing your kids hurt, those are never fun things. But my kids are doing great, and they're learning every day that their mom will fight for what's right. And, you know, that makes me proud to be their mother. And I'm glad that I'm, you know, I'm not happy for, my goodness, what is it, wake up in the morning, check your email, a little bit, check again. I mean, you know, that's become a theme in my life every single day. But my children understand the purpose that it's serving, and I think that they're blessed because of that. So hopefully they're learning from that.
Well, I think once we find enough people who are brave enough not to worry about the political correctness of rocking the boat, then if they just, they know it's wrong, they're just afraid to step out. So the more of us
the more
that will say, okay, they're doing it, I'm going to go do it too.
That's right.
That's what we keep doing. Mm-hmm. One
because
at a time.
Because they're starting to see, Miss Ann, they're starting to see. They know in their hearts this is affecting their children. They know it. They feel it. They see it. They're scared. And I understand that because I was there, too. You know, I was on the PTO board and asked to resign, you know, over a conflict of interest. I couldn't believe that. These are my friends. Very small community. You know, people are scared. But you know what God has done in my life?
I do not miss it, not one bit. You know, I don't hate them. I don't wish bad things for them. I recognize that they just don't know the truth. And they don't certainly don't know the truth as it pertains to my children the way that I do. So
well,
I must always speak for them. They're my first and foremost responsibility, not being popular or whatever in the town. So, but what God has done has surpassed anything I could ever imagine, because he has taken those people that, you know, you're nice to on a daily basis, that you like, but you don't just really don't know because, you know, we're all busy and leading busy lives. But he has replaced those people with true, honest, godly friends that some of them I've never met, but I know if I had a need, all I had to do was contact them or call them.
Right.
And that is, you know, that kind of takes care of all of that. So I hope those moms that are listening to this, I hope they're listening, and I hope those ones that are on the verge and they're scared will just trust God to step out there and take that chance, because I believe he will do it. If we have an humble heart, he will bless that every time.
Well, I just want to add in, too, I pray that also teachers and educators will hear you, Jennifer, because they're scared, too. And I think,
oh, yeah,
you know, God can intercede for them. You know, they may be the only one in that school that feels that way, or so they feel. But when they give it to God, he is so good to intervene on their behalf. You know, he makes a way when there seems to be no way. I believe he will protect them in the best way possible. And, yeah, it's hard. It's not going to be easy, and we're finding it's hard. But it must be done. This is something that God wants to happen. And as with what's happened to my cupboard, I really don't wish any ill, and I feel so sorry for him. You know, if what comes down the pike is what unfortunately is looking like, because that's not a place I want anybody in. But people have got to realize you do not do this to God's children. He warns us, like Miss Barbara, he gives us warning. And I think we need a national day of prayer and proclamation, fasting, whatever. Miss Barbara, how about you thinking about a state day of prayer and fasting? I think we need it.
Well, we need a day of fasting and prayer in our state prior to that day that we descend on Montgomery. And maybe that day as well. And Jennifer, would you please give the name of the church where that is held November 9th?
Yes, it's Crossbridge Community Church in Helena.
Where is it in Helena, Jennifer?
It is on it's on Starkey Street, Starkey. And I'm trying to look through my papers here to see if I can find the exact address. I will tag you. It's in the letter that's about to go out, and it will be spread here far and wide, I promise. So in the next couple of days, we ought to be able to get that out. So
which part of Helena is it in? The old part?
Yeah,
do
you know Old Town? It's down Old Town. If you're going, you know where it's Papa Saya's. You cross the bridge, and they have the pretty...
Yes.
You know, brook and water area. If you're going up, I think that's 261. Off to the left, there's a church sign, and that road is Starkey Street. It's back there. My dad was actually the founding pastor of this church. And if you've heard me speak before, you know how much I love my dad. And he actually started two churches in Helena, Riverside Baptist, and also Crossbridge. And Crossbridge was his last ministry before he passed away from pancreatic cancer. And so that church is one that, you know, we saw built truly by God's people. We had people come from all over the state, the country, park their RVs and build this church. And it was an incredible testimony to God's faithfulness to watch this take place. We have some really wonderful people. And, in fact, my dad ordained our pastor now, Bruce Squires, and he is a wonderful, wonderful Christian man.
Let me real quick before we lose the feed just for a moment, and then we'll get back to you. I just want to also mention that there's going to be another event in Mobile on the 7th and one in Dothan, Alabama, folks go to www.cityonahill.tv and just look at the front. We're going to add on Dothan event later, but right now Mobile and the Helena event's already listed there. So just click on the Eventbrite link and you will find the place. So just want to mention that. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jennifer.
Very good. No, that's all I was going to say. I just, you know, real honored, I guess, very humbled and honored that we're going to be able to have it at this place. It means a lot to me personally. And I just pray people will come out and hear the truth. I really do.
Well, I just have to tell y'all, ladies, y'all know how down I was when I got on here, but I just feel a thousand times better.
Hey! God,
that's
is great, isn't it,
Nina
Zan?
Yeah,
y'all made me feel better, too. I think we all do that, you know. And, oh, Miss Barbara, I'm going to ask you this again. You know my favorite story? Because I was hearing Jennifer talk, and I thought, I don't know if Jennifer's heard that story, but I would love for her to hear that story, Miss Barbara, if you don't mind.
What Diana's talking about in the War for Independence, this was at the very beginning when the British had taken over Boston, and and they had the stronghold there, and General Washington believed it was necessary to dislodge them from Boston. So he sent Henry Knox up to Fort Ticonderoga to bring back to Boston the heavy guns. We had captured Fort Ticonderoga, Ethan Allen, the Green Mountain Boys, and Benedict Arnold, while he was still an American, and captured the fort, and it was filled with heavy guns, cannons, all sorts of artillery. So Henry Knox went up there in the dead of winter and was able to bring it all back. He had to build sleds and sledges pulled by oxen to bring all this heavy equipment back. Well, while he was doing that, and this was an impossible situation, you know. We even with heavy guns and so forth, it was just, you know, how were they going to get the guns placed without the British knowing about it, and it was still going to be just impossible, and we're still this little ragtag army taking on the greatest military might in the world. You know, so, but one of Washington's lieutenants, Rufus Putnam, was just happened by the quarters of another one of the generals who just happened to have a book. Actually, was from France, and it was there were pictures of French armaments and so forth, and Lieutenant Rufus Putnam saw a drawing of what were called chandeliers. They were defenses that would be built off site and then could be placed where they were needed. They were already built and they just had to be moved. And so he took the idea to General Washington, and the general had them built right away. They began building totally off-site. And so this was a way that they were going to be able to place the heavy guns around the hills of Boston to be able to drive out the British. But it was still going to be noisy. And it was going to be seen. This was to be done in March, and so. But you know, they prayed. They were praying men, and the Lord sent in a fog to hide their movements. And it was real strange too, because the fog was placed exactly where it was needed. The other thing was that the Lord sent a wind to drive away the noise, and Washington's men were able to get everything in place, and at dawn, the British awakened to find that they were surrounded by all these men and these heavy guns, and it was just to them it was just an impossible feat that this could have been done overnight. They were just astounded, and of course, totally dismayed, and they had to withdraw. They had to leave, and so they did. And a lot of the Tories went with them at that point, much further north. And so it was just miraculous. It was one so-called coincidence after another, but it was a God incident, one after another. The Lord's timing, the Lord's provision, the Lord's supply of everything that was needed, when it was needed, how it was needed, and just a total, just totally God's doing, working with his people. But I love that story too, Diana, and I probably left half of it out, but that's basically the gist of it.
Hmm. And it shows you through history, that God's love has always been there, and it's still here now. It's still here. Well, that's a good reminder to know, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It gives me, when I'm feeling bad, I guess that's one of the reasons I love to hear it.
It
makes you settle down and know that, this is beyond your control, but thank
mm-hmm.
God we know who is in control. So we, as always, want to lift him up and ask him to have mercy. And Ms. Barbara, I know you always ask me to close, but would you mind if we ask Jennifer to close?
Oh, good idea. Okay.
Okay.
Idea.
And Ms. Ann, we are so appreciative of you just taking your time. And, I am a one-person issue like you because in my heart, grown-ups, we can fight. But we're talking about little children here who cannot fight. And so, yes, I'm a one-person issue like you, and I'm proud to be a one-person issue. But
me too.
Thank you for that, Madame. Okay, Jennifer, we will turn it over to you, Jennifer.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for, a night like this when we're having a horrible day. You're able to bring people together and lift us all up in one accord. And we thank you for the friendships that you provide, and we thank you for the provisions and how your timing is always on time. And as long as we have a heart that longs after you, we know without a doubt, we don't know how, but we have the promise from you that things will be okay. And we pray for the minds of our children. We pray for the hearts and the souls of our children, not just our children, but every child in every school in this state, in this nation, that maybe don't have parents that understand, or maybe they have parents that are scared or intimidated or don't feel like they could speak out. And Lord, we understand that this is not a popular thing to go against the grain, and it's certainly not a fun place to be, but we understand the importance of honoring you with the children and the lives that you've blessed us with. And Lord, I pray tonight, I just pray that you will come into the hearts of those people that are on the edge, and you will provide them with some supernatural type of courage that they understand, and they have a clarity in their minds and hearts that they know what's best for their children. And we're not asking for war against people or, to cause bad things to happen to our enemies. We pray for our enemies, Lord, that you will shine the truth in their hearts, and that
at the end of the day, we can be left standing with humility and with your grace, and that we will be able to say, we were able to accomplish this through our mighty Lord, and he gets the credit and the glory for every life that's in our state and in our country. And I pray for our leaders, and I pray for Mike Hubbard, and I pray for his family. And I sincerely do. I pray, Lord, that you will just help the truth come out. And I pray that you will work in Mike Hubbard's heart. And if indeed he has done the things he's accused of, I pray, Lord, that you will just deal with him in a way that he needs to resign, because that's what's best for the state. And, Lord, if he hasn't done these things, then I pray for his vindication. We pray that your light and your truth will shine in everything that we do. And I thank you for these friends, and I thank you for their hearts. And, Lord, put your hedge of protection around them and guide them and lead them and help us just know the ways that we need to go about it and the manner in which we need to deal with the people that are against us. We ask all of these things in your name. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
All righty. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
yeah,
guys. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
God bless you. Join us again. We have got John Bernard tuning in tomorrow to apprise us of what's going on with our military and, you know, the crises that are everywhere. We just love John Bernard. He lost his son, Joshua, killed in action in August 2009, and he has been so faithful to let us know what is going on with our military and to hold them up. So please join us tomorrow night. And also Thursday, we're going to be joined by Donna Garner and Henry Burke. Miss Barbara, don't you forget that.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And
that's
also
right.
Friday, we've got Professor Jim Milgram. So, folks, we have got really a power-packed, week. So please don't miss. Go to www.cityonthehill.tv. God bless y'all. Thank you, Miss Ann.
God bless you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
Bye, y'all.
Good night.
Night.